With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
If you remember, we had a bad patch in my first term where China and other countries were sort of boycotting the United States.
Recently, speaking in Wisconsin, President Donald Trump.
I met with the farmers and I said, I'm going to get you something for it because you've been treated very badly. And I got $28 billion for the farmers in the first term. Remember? I just asked Ken whether or not he got it. He said, I did. And we're looking at something also. Right now, we're looking at something to take the place of what's happened.
And some of that came on Wednesday as the White House requested a supplemental farm aid to the tune of over $11 billion. That request carries broader ag policy language, including permanent year-round E15 sales and changes to federal hemp rules within the broader ask for nearly $88 billion in additional funds. Office of Management and Budget requesting a total of $87.6 billion across several agencies, with the ag portion including $10 billion for temporary economic assistance for 2026 row and specialty crops and $1.1 billion for producers damaged by winter storms. The E15 language asking Congress to codify permanent year-round sales of gasoline blended with 15% ethanol. That would matter for corn growers, ethanol plants, fuel retailers, summer fuel markets, and the request also seeks changes to hemp. Administration asking for an update to the definition of final hemp-derived cannabinoid products to preserve access to appropriate full-spectrum CBD products while restricting products that pose serious health risk. Of course, Congress will have to act on the funding and policy authorities, but for ag, the package now extends beyond direct aid to include fuel demand, hemp regulation, and crop loss support. And speaking of ethanol, production eased last week, but stronger blending demand kept the report from sending a purely negative signal for corn users. Energy Information Administration data shows production fell 1.1% to 1.09 million barrels per day. That equals 45.78 million gallons per day. Output still just under 1% above the same week last year, 3.1% above the 5-year average. And ethanol stocks rising to 24.6 million barrels, builds in the Midwest and Gulf Coast. Private acreage estimate ahead of USDA's report points to fewer corn acres, more soybeans, giving grain producers another signal before summer market decisions. AgMarket.net estimating 2026 corn planted area at 94.9 million acres. It's below USDA's March intentions of 95.3 million and last year's 98.8 million. Soybeans pegged at 85.3 million acres, above USDA's 84.7 and last year's 81.2. And Independence Day cookouts could cost more this year, but higher grocery bills don't mean farmers keep more of that food dollar. American Farm Bureau Federation says holiday cookout for 10 people will cost $73.82 this year. That's $7.38 per person and up $2.90 from last year. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
For people that are following loosely, who are not, you know, experts on USMCA, the idea, I think the picture that many people have in their minds about USMCA, if they have a picture of that, is the integration in our manufacturing platforms, like automobiles. But the fact is that our agricultural industries are also deeply integrated.
At a roundtable discussion on Wednesday, Center for Strategic and International Studies on the USMCA.
Greg Dowd is the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation and a veteran U.S. agricultural policy and trade expert.
Well, I think one of the most fascinating conversations on integration is dairy between the U.S. and Canada. I mean, we have facilities on both sides of the border, very close to each other, and there's stuff going back and forth all the time, which makes it really complicated to know what the real trade is, to be perfectly honest with you, on dairy in Canada.
Dr. Julio Verdere Sacristan, in October 2024, he was named Mexico's Secretary of Agriculture and Rural Development, and he's currently the Coordinator for International Agri-Food Affairs in the Office of the Presidency of the Government of Mexico. So sticking on this integration theme, Dr. Verdere, what unique role does Mexico play in strengthening the resilience, affordability, and year-round availability of food for consumers throughout the North American region?
There's a long answer and a short answer. The short answer is that without Mexico, the U.S. and Canada, to a lesser extent, but the U.S. mostly, could say goodbye to year-round, affordable, resilient supply of certain important types of groups, particularly fresh fruits and vegetables. The same is exactly true for Mexico with respect to the U.S. and Canada. For example, we import every year almost 40 million tons, metric tons, of grains and oil seeds from the U.S. and Canada, worth around $11 billion. These grains and oil seeds have allowed us to increase in Mexico per capita animal protein consumption by 26% over 15 years. Our people eat 26% more milk, eggs, meat, pork meat, beef, because we're able to benefit from, you know, the importation of these feeds from the United States and from Canada. If you look at the U.S. consumer, the U.S. consumer has more than three times more raspberries and blueberries and two times more avocados than it used to be due to the agreement. 57% more strawberries, which are now under a very severe threat because of an ongoing investigation that could get rid of this 57% if the ruling goes wrong. It is truly a very integrated agri-food economy. It's not just about trade. Trade is hugely important. But the thing is that we are now completely interlocked. Stuff that we take for granted every day, low price, high quality, safe food, would not be there without this agreement. So we need to take care of this agreement. Like Greg said, many consider it the golden standard or the gold standard of trade agreements when it comes to food products. And we need to maintain and protect what we have.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Weekly Fed steer prices, so this is would be that five area Fed steer price, continues to chart a similar seasonal trend to last year, with prices moving generally higher since the start of the year and tracking well above year-ago levels.
Tyler Cousins, director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center.
Fed steer prices started the year close to $230 per hundredweight and reached a $262.85 per hundredweight in mid-May. But more recently, prices have actually been tracking in the mid-$250 per hundredweight area. Now, compared to a year ago, on average, weekly fed steer prices through mid-June have been tracking about $35 per hundredweight, or 16% above the prior year. Now, last year, fed steer prices did not reach a peak until August, when prices reached a peak of $244.25 per hundredweight. If this follows a similar trend to 2025, the peak fed steer price will probably occur in the third quarter of this year. Now, kind of tying all some of this discussion together as well, we look at, so it's good to look at the box beef cutout value, right? Because seasonally here, we're moving through the summer months, and we typically see some of our peaks occur in box beef value around these holiday seasons of Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day. Last year, we saw peaks occur around July 4th and Labor Day. This year, we're watching the trend of the box beef cutout value to see if we're going to see another one of those peak values around July 4th. So far, box beef cutout value has been trending slightly higher. We haven't quite seen as much of an upward movement as we did last year. The box beef cutout value last week was just below $4. It was just at $3.96 per hundredweight. Now, the tricky thing is looking at some of those primal values. What we're actually seeing is a little bit more of a muted tone on some of these primal values, especially the rib, the loin, and the brisket. We're seeing the chuck kind of track a little bit sideways, but, you know, kind of looking at the round and the flank, the round, we're seeing a little bit more of a sideways movement, and the flank, we're seeing actually some strength there, right? So some of this is kind of tied to what consumers are looking for as far as the grilling season goes. And one of those stronger ones has actually been the ground beef side of things, because we're actually seeing ground beef prices at the retail level just topping $7 per pound, which is record levels there. And so looking at consumer demand moving forward will be one of those things that we will be tracking quite closely to see if this box beef cutout value can hold some strength here through the summer months and trend a little bit higher before it moves lower kind of during that third quarter and into the fourth quarter.
And on the topic of New World screwworm.
So kind of a more recent update with as far as New World screwworm goes. You know, with the reported cases of New World screwworm a few weeks ago, the cattle sector is keeping a close eye on reported cases. Now, USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, has a dedicated website to report cases. It is screwworm.gov. Now, giving a recap as far as reported cases on USDA APHIS's website, at the end of last week, APHIS was reporting 12 total animal cases. Kind of looking at those reported cases, there were 8 cases reported in cattle. All of these cases are in Texas, in the counties of Zavala, La Salle, Edwards, and Tom Green counties. There was one reported case in sheep in Sutton County, Texas. There were 2 cases reported in goats, one in Gillespie County, Texas, and one in Edwards County, Texas. And then there was 1 case reported in a dog in Lee County, New Mexico. Now, on the USDA APHIS website, they note that 9 of the 12 cases that were reported are considered to be active, with the remaining 3 of 12 cases to be inactive. The 3 inactive cases, that would be the case in sheep in Sutton County, Texas, a case in cattle in Zavala County, Texas, and a case in dog in Lee County, New Mexico. Another quick side note, USDA announced that last week that they have a combined total of $105 million in funding that they've allocated to fight New World screwworm. These funds are aimed to sharpen detection, accelerate control and eradication tools, and strengthen rapid response capabilities.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Over the past few years, the Midwest agricultural economy has transitioned from a period of rapid post-pandemic appreciation to a more moderate growth pattern for cropland values.
That's Matt Erickson with Terrain.
Despite weaker crop prices, demand for cropland remains resilient, supported by scarce, high-quality acreage, persistent global food demand, renewable energy investment, commercial development, and cropland's notable role as a long-term hedge to inflation. As producers and investors reassess their portfolios now that the pandemic's effects have faded, a central question emerges. Over the long run, how do differences in income support, appreciation, and volatility shape inflation-adjusted cropland returns across the Midwest and Plains? My research finds three observations of the economics of cropland across the Midwest and Plains. First, cropland returns follow the agricultural cycle, with income moving first and land values adjusting later. Second, markets with stronger real income support tend to navigate down cycles and tighter credit more smoothly, while appreciation-dependent regions face greater sensitivity when margins weaken. And third, volatility reflects exposure to agricultural cycles, not just average returns. From an economic standpoint, cropland investors receive two sources that equate to their return on investment. First, the net cash return, and second, the price appreciation measured in real terms. Current returns to agricultural cropland in 2025 vary widely across the country, but generally fall between 1.9% and 3.3% across the Midwest, reflecting strong underlying land values and moderating cash rents. These returns remain below alternative safe asset benchmarks, including a 4.3% 10-year treasury, suggesting cropland continues to be priced at a premium relative to its current income yield. For producers, these return levels signal a market still supported by long-term confidence in cropland as an investment, but also constrained by weaker commodity price trends and cautious rent growth. Many operators continue to face compressed margins, and rental negotiations have leaned towards stability rather than sharp increases, particularly in the Corn Belt. Looking ahead to 2027, if crop prices remain under pressure, rents may adjust slowly downward, providing some cost relief for tenants. Additionally, if interest rates ease, farmland values may stabilize or strengthen, which would support balance sheets. Overall, the 2027 outlook points to a steady but subdued cropland returns, with profitability hinging more on operational efficiency and market conditions than on significant appreciation and land income. From 1990 to 2025, cropland delivered strong nominal performance across much of the Midwest and Plains, with average annual total returns ranging from about 9% to 17% by state. South Dakota led with an average nominal total return of 17.3%, followed by Kansas at 14.6% and Nebraska at 13.4%. Eastern Corn Belt states, such as Indiana, at 9.7%, Ohio at 9.6%, and Illinois at 9.5%, clustered at the lower end of the range. Real total returns compress meaningfully, falling into a tighter range of approximately 4% to 12%.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
Dr. Julio Verdaguer Sacristán, in October 2024, he was named New Mexico's Secretary of Agriculture and Rural Development, and he's currently the Coordinator for International Agri-Food Affairs in the Office of the Presidency of the Government of Mexico.
Roundtable held by the Center for Strategic and International Studies on the future of the USMCA.
Dr. Verdaguer, can you talk a little bit about cooperation with other countries in the region?
Well, Mexico has free trade agreements with, perhaps most of the countries in Latin America, not with Mercosur, the Mercosur countries, because they have a different policy there. We want to have more trade within, let me say, Latin America and the Caribbean, and not just with North America. We're collaborating more with Brazil, for example, right now, which has signed a major agreement for deep water exploration in the oil sector between Petrobras and Pemex. So we're always seeking opportunities for more collaboration and more trade. We think that in the end we're better off if we have more of these free trade and fair trade frameworks in place. And certainly we have a very close, they're brothers and sisters, of course, in Latin America and the Caribbean, and we're always looking for opportunities. It's a separate situation, of course, than what we have with the United States and Canada. It's a different, but I think inspired by the same objectives, and in the case of Latin America, perhaps more because of historic reasons.
Greg Dowd is president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation and a veteran U.S. agricultural policy and trade expert.
Our two biggest markets for dairy, $9.5 billion in exports. This year we could hit $10 billion in dairy exports out of the U.S. Canada, Mexico and Canada are our two biggest markets. You know where our third biggest market is today, neck and neck with Japan? It's CAFTA DR. Unbelievable success story in terms of a trade agreement and what that has done for dairy farmers in the relationship in that part of the world. It is has been unbelievably successful. We're growing double digits, and I don't think there's any end in sight in the years to come. Tremendously successful.
Dr. Verdaguer?
Well, the vision of President Sheinbaum, and of course we share that, is North America as an integrated, more secure, and more competitive as a region. The world is becoming a difficult environment. Changes that we don't understand exactly where they're going to go and how it's going to end. And we believe that if we focus on how do we integrate more, how do we collaborate more, how do we become really much more of a region vis-a-vis other regions of the world, each of us would be better off. And I think agriculture needs to do its part. We need to make sure that that vision prevails over the irritants, over the difficulties, you know, that what we put what is very important center left and right, and let's not get distracted. So I'm also optimistic because I think we have a very solid starting point. We just need to work hard, talk a lot, listen a lot, and find ways to the issues that are facing us.
Greg? So we have already companies that are investing in ag across all three countries. Mm-hmm. Supply chains are becoming integrated. What I see over the next 10 years is the use of AI is going to just absolutely make this, the integration of supply chains exponential. It's going to be remarkable.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Today I'd like to visit with our dairy producers concerning the variability that we have seen in commodity prices of various ag products and how that relates to what's happening in our dairy industry.
Kansas State Dairy Specialist Dr. Mike Brook.
If we kind of take a look back over the last 10 years, for most years, we've seen an actual decrease in the Class 1 or fluid milk receipts across the United States. In general, some of our milk is being diverted from Class 1 to other products. That is to be expected with the demands that we have from our consumers and looking for other types of dairy products besides Class 1 milk or milk in the jug. And while we see growth areas in these other products, we tend to generally see a decrease in the amount of milk that's being consumed as a beverage. However, more recently, we've seen some of that actually increase slightly. So moving forward, maybe that'll be a help for us. One of the big changes that our dairy farms have experienced is a great increase in cull cow prices. If we look at the data from 2015, we were getting about $1.15 a pound for cull cows, but then that quickly diminished, and by 2019, we were only receiving about 50 cents per pound for our cull cows. Today, we're probably about $1.70 a pound for cull cows. Varies a little bit across the United States, but still a very good price and over three times what we were getting back in 2019. As we look at some other commodities and how that's impacted our dairy industry in the last 10 years, corn currently is just a little over $4 a bushel. 10 years ago, it was just a little under $4. However, we did see a period of years from 2020 through 2024 where corn was very expensive. And in fact, in 2022, we saw corn prices over $7. So it greatly increased our feed prices. Soybeans, similarly, have had a range of prices in the last 10 years. In 2015, about $10 a bushel, and currently we're probably just over $11 a bushel. And again, there was a high price in 2022 when we spiked over $16 a bushel for soybeans. As we look at central order prices for milk during that same period of time, we were fortunate that we had a spike in milk price in 2022. When it came to uniform prices, we were over $25.50 per hundredweight, and that helped us survive some of those high feed prices that we were experiencing. In general, we've had a trend up in the price for milk, although it has been variable, and even in this year, we've started out lower than what we currently are and have seen a bit of an increase in milk price during 2026. So, in general, how do we shape up as a dairy industry? When it comes to looking at our prices versus other commodities out there, the bright spot for us would be cull cow prices and the prices that we're getting for dairy calves coming off of our operations as they move into the feedlot situation. As far as the price of milk, well, we've had a slight increase, but again, highly variable and probably not keeping up with many of the increases in expenses that we've seen over the last 10 years. However, the value that we're getting out of cull cows and calves is really helping us.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.